Union. Don't be hold.
Hope your day's running well.
Good, just cruising down 85 as usual.
Pretty crap shoot, isn't it?
Have a sec.
85 is always iffy if it's going to be on time or 2 hours late.
But for the former this morning. Not having Patrick in here anymore.
He'll still be up early and be able to get on his 2 meters at the half.
Sleeping in is also a very attractive option in that situation.
It's probably especially after his surgery.
The thing this weekend.
In Hendersonville, I thought at some, there was a, I don't know, some place, a restaurant or something up there in Hendersonville, but I wasn't familiar with it.
I'm going to try to finagle myself an exit visa and try to make it up, but the odds are low, but I'm still going to try.
We're in North Carolina, up in Cary, North Carolina, this weekend to see my mother-in-law. Above Raleigh, just south of Raleigh.
All right, that's even a little bit far from me. You're still about 2.5 hours north of Shelby.
Got a guy walking across the street on like a, I don't know, it's like a 5 or 6 lane in the dark.
Smart. I see people riding around Shelby dressed in all black on a bicycle with no lights all the time.
Like it's your fault if you hit them, right?
You're just trying not to be seen.
Probably me. Hey, I got a radio question. Stopped at a red light, and I'm going to be in a bad spot.
Thank you, JKT.
That spot is really bad right there. So, I saw somebody was asking a question about a radio on Facebook or whatever, but he mentioned it. For FRS, you couldn't have a radio with a, that had a detachable antenna.
That is correct.
You use like a Anytone HD?
All of my HTs are open transmit, and I have all the FRS and GMRS frequencies in there, and I do have a GMRS license, but, you know, ham radios are not Part 95 certified, which is what you have to have for a GMRS radio. So, that being said, no one is ever going to pull you over on the street and say, hey, show me your radio and make sure that this is a Part 95 radio.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting my GMRS. I know a lot of the little Jeep clubs, and when they're riding trails and that, they always seem to use GMRS.
Years ago, I'm WRQX 922 on GMRS, paid the $35 as soon as they lowered the fee, as when I paid the license fee and got one. So that's the one that we can use together, having a GMRS license. License is good for everyone who lives in the household, so, you get it, and then it's good for everyone.
Think about it, you don't have to test for it.
Qualification is paying $35, so it's kind of like, you know, why bother with it?
But I just got to break down and do it, get online and do it. It'll be a washout on Thursday and Friday.
The forecast. I don't think we quite have so much up my way, but there's still rain in the forecast. Better Thursday and Friday than this weekend.
That one. I'm going to have to probably cut some grass this evening or else I'll be bush hogging when I get back from North Carolina.
I'm going to get all my grass cut tonight when I get home from work.
Down 29. Looks like he's on a true moped because he's only doing about 20.
Those things is hard sometimes.
Yeah, because I'm doing 45 and I get passed by one that has a moped tag on it.
Limited by speed or are they limited by displacement? I thought as long as it was 49 cc or less, it didn't matter how fast it could go, but I could be wrong.
limited by volts. I know that it's limited by CC, but I thought it was limited by volts. Hang on, I'm in a bad spot. Give me about 10 seconds.
Yeah, maybe it's like 49 CC at 45 miles an hour or something. I don't really know, but I know I've seen some where people have like actually put a turbo on them so they can at least, you know, have that more power to keep the speed going up the hills and stuff, but that's an expensive bolt-on, you know, it was like a YouTube video I saw, and somebody actually did it, and it was kind of neat, but yeah, it was a kludgy thing.
You have a license to drive anything else, right? I don't know if I told you, a young kid that works with my wife at the restaurant, and he's got a crotch rocket, and he's a speed freak. They clocked him at 185 in the 35.
So how long did he spend in jail for that?
The camera caught him, so about 2 hours later, they arrived at his house. And that got him, for, gave him, I think, a $14,000 ticket initially, and from running from blue light. Then he had to get a lawyer and everything. All said and done, he's losing his license for 6 months, got to take a class, and the ticket got knocked down to $7,000.
After the camera got it, I'm surprised they were able to ticket him at all, because South Carolina state law says that if they use a camera for enforcement, the officer has to make contact within 20 minutes.
Oh, I don't know how that is.
Back in the teens, because they were using it down to 995 to mail people tickets en masse, and they had the state legislature had enough of that. So they said that, you know, the officer making the camera had to have an operating officer, and the operating officer had to make contact with the violator within 20 minutes of the infraction, and it had to be the operating officer, it couldn't be another one. So they really cut down on the automated speeding enforcement, because, you know, these little towns on the way to the beach were using it to automate revenue, and the legislature wasn't having any part of it.
Yeah, so they don't have the cameras like they do in other states that just clock you and read your tag and send your ticket.
In those states, it can't actually be a ticket because that requires that an officer charge you. If it's automated, at least in Maryland and Virginia both, it's considered an administrative violation, so they can't give you any points for it. They can't raise your insurance for it, but they can still take your money, and that's really what they want anyway. So they get their money, but they can't give you points, or and your insurance company can't raise your rates for automated tickets, at least in those two states.
No, I know last night going home, man, they just, a bunch of cars in front of me jammed on the brakes because there was a motorcycle cop sitting on the side with a radar. And then we got down to like 45 mile an hour.
I mean, you know, they're not going to pull you over unless you're going at least 13 over. Because I think in South Carolina, 0 to 12 isn't even considered a violation. Or maybe that's Georgia, I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to bother you if you're going 10 over. And there's no need at all to slow down to 10 under. I mean, that's just insane.
How it's like you're supposed to slow down or move over for emergency vehicles on the side of the highway. Does that, if he's just sitting there clocking you, does that count?
Does not count.
They're sideways on the highway. But it, as soon as I passed him, he must have clocked somebody because I saw him zoom past.
Reported on Google Maps because I know a lot of them will move. They'll keep their Google Maps open, and then when people start reporting their location on Google Maps, they'll have to move.
It is past exit 80.
Cop with somebody pulled over up in that area the other day.
That area pretty hard in the afternoon.
That was, I don't remember if it was yesterday or Monday, but yeah, motorcycle guy had somebody pulled over just, I guess there's a construction zone sign like around, like north of exit 80, just north or something like that, and he had him pulled over in there. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. So I live on a dead end street. And the North Carolina state troopers have been kind of cruising my neighborhood there are only about 15 houses in my neighborhood on a dead-end street, and they've just kind of been going up and down. I'm wondering if they're, like, surveilling something.
So, I mean, with that, no way to get out, they got to be looking for something.
Got my clandestine pizza oven in the carport.
It's business.
Got cleanup activity in the office today and tomorrow, and I didn't get the email for it until Tuesday night, and it's mandatory on site for everybody, so I've got to go in the office 4 days this week.
What kind of cleanup?
Like slobs, and so there's cardboard boxes everywhere, broken tools, parts, you know, just stuff has been accumulating everywhere, and, you know, all the workrooms and the storerooms, and everybody's cubes a mess. And I think they just finally, you know, I think maybe the HS&E guy came through and said, you guys got to do something about this. So there's a mandatory on-site, two-day-long, cancel-all meeting. Just focus on cleaning everything out. They've got dumpsters coming in and electronics recycling and all kinds of stuff. So I think a particular issue was all the stuff that was piled up on top of the cubes that gets close to the ceiling and interferes with sprinklers. So... I think it was driven by HS&E.
And I got, you know, spare parts and that in my office where the guys bring it and say, hey, I need one of these, and then it never somehow finds its way into the trash.
Going in for this, though, because I agree that the place is a mess and a pigsty, and it needs to be cleaned up. I mean, people need to just stop keeping... You know, I don't know what it is about engineers. I'm the same way. I hoard everything. I'm like, I might need this someday, and I just stick it in a drawer and forget about it. So, I mean, even in my office, I've got a drawer full of stuff.
Here, I got extra drill bits and an extra stinger for the welding thing and just extra little pieces that the guys might need that I don't want to put out because if you put it out, they'll turn out missing.
Up all of the bags of electronic components that we've got, and we've got just so many, like you could probably fill a small dumpster just with all of the electronic components that we've accumulated over the years. And it's all stuff that we use in our tools, so, you know, stuff will come in handy, you know, spare parts or whatever, but I might bring it all home and have one, you know, my older kid go through and catalog and sort everything and see if I can pay him like $10 an hour or something to do it. And that way we have a spare parts bin that's organized and cataloged, and if somebody needs a part, they can just look at the spreadsheet and say, oh yeah, we have this, and then go get it. Think more.
Spare parts are they're not listed as spare parts, and that, so unless you just remember where you saw it at, there's no record of it. And that just makes it aggravating, because then you end up buying another one because you can't remember where you saw it. This week they were working on a Cushman cart, the brakes, and they needed a wheel cylinder rebuild kit. And when I was looking it up, it's like, man, I bought four of those just last year. You got to be some spares. And we looked around and found them.
Ham shack at home and clean up once in a while, I'm always finding stuff. Like, oh, I was looking for that a couple weeks ago, and I've definitely been guilty of buying something that I was looking for only to find it in a drawer like 6 months later, you know. So I could probably stand to use some of that organization at home anyway.
You know, you look for something and it's like, I know I got it, I just can't figure out where I put it. Location now?
Coming up on 101, exit 60.
Good, I just saw a blue light headed south at the 67.
Rest beacon went off. What did you see?
It's headed south at the 67.
Were they high rate of speed, or were they just pulling somebody over, you think?
Hammer down, for sure.
What's got him in such a hurry?
Something behind you. That overhead sign said there was construction at the 77. So I'll have to look and see. I don't see it on the screen yet.
Anything coming down?
yesterday for parts. I had to go out to an electronic store for some fuses. And then I had to go back out to Home Depot for a toilet fill valve. And then I saw that the later on that day, Business 85 got closed down. I don't know, somehow a truck hooked some power lines and snatched down some poles.
This is where I've seen power lines sagging down awfully low.
29, just north of Spartanburg. I have to go down that way because the bridge is out. And I see there's a big old oak tree with a branch sticking out. And man, that branch has done some damage to some trucks because it's about a 6-inch branch and the bark's peeled all off of it.
Well, you know, they'll get to it in about 5 years.
About the trees in our subdivision, you can hardly get down the road with your camper, and they cut most of them, but there was one more that, you know, it kind of goes out at a 45 or so, and if you're up against the side of the road, you'll hit it. You would need to be in the center to clear it.
The job completely is there.
And got to pay attention to get when we're going out with the camper and that, it's like, yeah, I can't go that way like I normally go because the trees are too low that way. You know, you gotta plan your route so you can make it without tearing up your camper.
New York plates this morning.
Moving down here. I mean, Susan sees people from New York all the time in the restaurant.
Get 4 or 5 New York plates this morning that I've seen. It's definitely a lot.
In an electronic store over in Spartanburg called Harley's. Electronic store in Spartanburg called Harley's. I'm wondering if you ever been in it.
Is it any good?
It's like a gigantic Radio Shack.
Radio Shack, do you remember when they had Tech America?
It was that one. And then it's, I'm not a, you know, electronics guru type of guy, but so I didn't go in them too much.
In Atlanta, there was a place called Tech America, and I think it was out on Buford Highway, just outside the perimeter. And it was basically a giant Radio Shack. They had, you know, it was about the size of a Best Buy, and it had every electronic component you could imagine, and they sold musical instruments and other electronics and computer parts, and it was kind of like Fry's, but on steroids, back when Fry's was around. And it was really handy because I was going to Georgia Tech, and, you know, I needed parts sometimes, so I'd cruise out there and get them. But they went out of business just like every other brick-and-mortar, you know, small parts electronics place did, including Radio Shack.
This one's still in business, just no business.
It's hobby business. They're probably loaded and just want something to do.
One of the I&E guys sends me down there for something, they always have it.
That, I'm getting close to this hole at exit 51.
That whenever the I&E guys send me down there, they always have what I need.
I'm there on my way home because I'm looking for a diode for Leon's radio, and I don't want to spend $20 to order them from DigiKey because you have to pay shipping and all that other stuff. But they might just have what I need. Maybe I'll look them up today and see.
It's called Harley's. So if you go, if you're headed back to your house, take the Business 85 north. Get off at, I think it says Asheville Highway 56, Highway 56 or something, but it's Heron Circle. Take a right, and it's about a mile on the left.
Call today and see if they have the right diode. It's just an 18-volt transorb. Unidirectional transorb that sits there on the DC input to the radio. So, you know, like a 10-cent part in DigiKey, but you got to buy, you know, 10 of them to make it worth your while. And of course, there's like $8 shipping on top of that. So, you know, probably like $12 or $13 just to get one diode for his radio. So I'm just hoping to, you know, maybe find one local.
And they would have that.
Part two. So, you know, not many people stock through-hole parts anymore, but. Yeah, I'll call them and see if they've got it.
and you don't really carry any antenna parts like coax connectors and stuff like that. But it's about 100 yards down from the Spartanburg Club. You can see the big HF antenna.
The club, like, have a location?
AM Club, it's like 100 yards before you get there. They got a HF antenna. It's not real, real high. It's only about 20 foot high, but, I mean, it's huge.
Eddie, real estate for a ham shack, you know, that's some commitment right there.
That one.
I have to do it for the Clemson Club because, you know, Clemson University came out and said that clubs were not allowed to use the name Clemson University in their name anymore and had to divest themselves from the university and couldn't be affiliated and stuff. So we thought about just, you know, separating ourselves from the university and just being the Clemson Amateur Radio Club, open to anybody. And I was looking around for maybe like a small office space or something where, you know, we could have a shack, but... commercial real estate around Seneca and Clemson is too darn expensive.
Going up every day.
Even in Shelby, like, a lot of stores are closing because landlords are, like, coming back and doubling and tripling the rent. Yesterday, about that project they delayed to put the extra lane in between exits 40 and 69.
It's a disaster whenever they...
through here, they've already got four lanes through the Woodruff area, so what are they going to do, add a fifth one?
I have no idea. It's like right there at the 44, you know, where the cars get on, the lane ends, and then it goes about 100 yards, and then it starts again for the exit. It's like, man, you should have just continued that on.
If they delayed it to 2030, maybe I can get retired by then.
By then, for sure.
Trying to get everything paid off now, like, that's our singular focus right now, just getting stuff paid off, get the houses paid off, get the cars paid off, get it, you know, save a bunch of money if we can, and just, you know, try to quit as early as we can, because, you know, Courtney's job is high stress, my job is getting high stress, like, we just don't want anything to do with it anymore, just let us check out, and, you know, if we don't have any debt, don't have any bills to pay, then it gets a lot easier to take a less stressful job.
I know when COVID hit and then I got furloughed and left the old place, and then, you know, I was dreading it, but man, this place is low stress and everything, so I mean, it makes it a lot nicer.
Air down here on, let's see, exit 46 maybe?
Orange Road.
It is hovering about 150 feet above the highway.
Out there, and I'm rolling down to the gates. I'm gonna say 73. And you have a good day. Good to talk to you this morning, and I'll catch you later. KN4TFW.
Come in tomorrow. Maybe I'll catch you then. If not, I'll talk to you next week. I hope you have a great day and a great weekend. If I don't talk to you, have a great day. This is WTJK.